To make Jesus the center of everyday life means we have to have the Holy Spirit filling our lives every day, because we can't do it on our own. A lot of times when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we've all had a lot of different experience with what the person and work of the Holy Spirit is. And so we're going to take the next few weeks to explain the real heart of the third member of the Trinity. I'm certainly not going to cover all the ground. That'd be pretty tough to do on Sunday mornings. I'm going to try to introduce you to him in a way that you and he can continue the conversation outside these services. But one of the things I want to do right off the bat is I want you to consider something. That so often, when we think of the Holy Spirit, we think of the very big moments. And it's true that God gives us the Holy Spirit for power, and there are wonderful big moments. But I think what we miss is that the Holy Spirit is a gift in our everyday life for a grace that almost feels too simple sometimes, but is really the beauty of Him working in us. You know, I get to celebrate today. My wife's going to kill me. It's her birthday today. And she already scolded me once for saying first service. And she's like, oh, you're in trouble. Sorry, honey. Happy birthday. I love you. You know, but there's a grace that I enjoy every day that I get to share a life with my wife. There's days, whether it's a loved one, a family member, a brother, a sister, or just a good friend. You know, there's a grace to that. And so I asked our worship team if they'd come back. And I'd like you to take a moment to think about God's grace in your life. The big stuff, but the small stuff. The ways that you're thankful. And all of us love the hymn Amazing Grace. And it's a reminder throughout the centuries of a God who's good. And I'm just going to invite you to stay seated. And we're going to sing that hymn together this morning. And as we do, as you reflect on the words, for some of you it's a very special moment as you think of that song in the passing of a loved one. Or sometimes it's the church you grew up in, and that was a great hymn. But I want to encourage you to remember the grace of God in your life, because it's, as we'll talk about, the Holy Spirit that makes that grace come about every day. And as you do that, on the front of your sermon notes is a box that just gives you a place to write down a few of those graces. Things that you don't deserve, that God's done in your life. And as we sing that, I'm going to invite you to write a few of those downs and use this sermon notes as kind of a bookmark this week. So that no matter what happens in the next few days when you start to get a little, not so happy with something, you can both say, you know what, I've got a lot to be thankful for. There's great grace in my life. So Jocelyn, if you'd come, and Pastor Brandon's going to help lead the fellowship hall. But let's take a few moments to remember the everyday grace of Jesus that we have. And let's be thankful.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a secures. He wins. bright shining as the sun. We've known best days to sing God's praise. Then when we first begun.
It's good to be grateful, amen? I hope you've got to stop for a moment today and remember to be thankful for the grace of God in your life. You know, when I think of the things I'm grateful for, I think of people, and I think of things He's done. But there's really a magnificent message of the Bible that takes grace to a whole new level. You know, I'm thankful that Jesus gave His life for me, that the life I lived in selfishness, the stain of sin, the spiritual strongholds I built up in my life because I chose to do things my way, the way I reacted to people's pain and my own pain, my pride, that Jesus came to die for those things to give me a new heart, to give me a new life. And, you know, we know that, although a lot of times we really don't think that through very well. And it's amazing to think that He gave His life for me, and that's great. It's amazing to think of the grace that not only did He die for me, but He lives for me. And as the scripture says in Hebrews, that He lives to make intercession for me at the right hand of the Father. Not only did He die for me, not only did He rise again and ascend into heaven, but every day, there's not a place in your life, there's not a moment of your day when Jesus the King isn't making intercession for you before the Father in heaven. I'd say that's pretty amazing. And then it gets better. Not only did He die for me, not only does He make intercession for me before the Father, but He, as we are focusing on today, sends me, God the Holy Spirit, to be with me. And He doesn't just intercede for me up in heaven. He intercedes in my heart and in my life. Every moment He is with me. It's not too easy to describe the whole issue of the Trinity. And I mean, you take your pick on what symbol you want to use to describe it. You know, some use water and the idea that it's in three different states. It's steam and, you know, it's liquid and it's ice and it's all water. But there's different expressions of it. Of course, we know that each of the members of the Trinity are their own person. And so it's not just another face to the same God. There's something unique about each of the members of the Trinity. Some people like to equate the Trinity to the sun. Well, you see it's true. You see you have the mass of it that you really can't see. All you do is reflect, you see the light of it and you feel the heat of it. God the Father, who we cannot behold with human eyes, we see the light of Christ and we feel the warmth of the Holy Spirit. It's what impacts us. You could use that. I've never been much for the egg analogy, so we'll just skip by that one. There's just all sorts of ways to talk about who God is. You know, the beautiful thing about God is there should be some of Him that you can grasp and should be so simple and natural to you, and then He should be very other than you, all at the same time. So in one sense, I know God so well. In another sense, I can never comprehend the mystery of the Trinity. One of the things that helps me is I know that God is love. And that God is love, meaning He Himself is good relationship. God Himself within the Trinity is relationship, is community, is wholeness. So that in Genesis, when I hear that it is not good for man to be alone, that's not just a scripture about marriage. That's a scripture that we're not meant to live in isolation. Because to be like God, who we're made the image of, we've got to be in relationship. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God the Father speaks in the Old Testament, and He meets with Moses on the mountain. And that causes a lot of thunder and lightning and killer fear. And Moses has the best tan you've ever seen coming down off the mountain. I mean, he's glowing. It's a fearful thing. I mean, the best Moses can do is kind of catch the trail of his glory. We read in the book of Revelations of King Jesus, now ascended at the right hand of the Father. And the Apostle Paul says, when he looked at me and talked to me, I fell down dead. Because you're not going to approach that kind of majesty and hear that kind of authority and power and not stay standing. And then we have the Holy Spirit, who sometimes feels like a feeling. Sometimes is just like the conscience that guides us, but is the third member of the Trinity, and he is given that the voice of God may be gentle and practical and with you. And the greatness and the awesomeness of Almighty God can speak to your heart and gently say, I love you. God, in his grace, has given us the love of the Father, 2 Corinthians 13, 14, the love of the Father, the grace of the Son, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. When we have accepted Jesus into our life, it's the Holy Spirit that abides in us, and because he's part of the Trinity, the Father and the Son are with us, and it's the Holy Spirit that can give us a friendship and a closeness with God that in one sense seems almost paradoxical. I mean, he's the great God in heaven. Who's coming in front of him? And in the other sense, he cares about how I'm doing at Evangel Christian School today, or he cares about how work's going or how my family's developing. It's the gift of God the Holy Spirit that was sent as Jesus ascended on the day of Pentecost was given that we receive, and it is him that walks with us every day. This world wants to turn your Christianity into religion. This world wants to turn, Satan doesn't mind if you're the most religious person in all the world. Have at it. If you just, you know, you go to Bible studies and you have a religious event every week and you pay your homage and you do your penance, I mean, have at it. Satan doesn't care at all. Because he's more than happy for you to feel like you have to go to a temple someplace to experience him. He's more than happy for you to have a religious event every day. But what Jesus died to give you is an everyday relationship with the Almighty God, as crazy as that sounds. You are with him in the Holy Spirit. And all I can do today, with so much to say, and I mean, how you outline everything, all I can do today is introduce you a little bit. I met a few people today, Joe and Marianne in the fellowship hall, and a few others here today. And, you know, it's an introduction. Hi. Just a building of a relationship. And today I want to, if you're not familiar with or you don't understand who he is, all I want to do for a few moments is give you a simple introduction to God who is right with you right now. The Holy Spirit. He's created you. You're not existing without him. He knows you very well. If you've accepted Christ in your heart, he is with you and in you. And if you've accepted Christ in your heart, there is the opportunity and the joy to be filled and overflowing with him. Jesus never meant to give us a life to live and not the power to live it. And so in the Holy Spirit, we have all that we need. You know, there are a lot of things that I get worried about or get intense about in life. But the one I get most intense about is Christians who live like there's no Holy Spirit to guide and bless them, because you're missing out. I'm missing out. There are times I do it. We are not alone. John 14, Jesus said, I will not leave you an orphan. I will come to you. And he's talking all about the Holy Spirit. You're not alone. No matter what you're going through today, you are not alone. You have a helper, a counselor, a Holy Spirit, God himself with you. And we want to take a few moments to look at that in some everyday ways. So you see your bullets in there, just about amazing grace and some facts about the Spirit of God interceding. As you turn the page there, we're going to look at these four characteristics. It's just an introduction of the Holy Spirit. Number one, every day, God, the Holy Spirit, is all around you. And this is about your world. Now, I know there are some of the workplaces and some of the schools you go to and some of the things, man, you don't feel like God's any place, but He is there. Psalm 139 says, "Where can I flee from your presence, your spirit?" He is in all places. And, you know, some of us, we've done the church thing for a good bit, and we're pretty burnt out on church. And so we think, well, if I leave church, you know, I'll just leave God. Well, that's just not even possible. You know, you may close the door in your heart for Him, but He's all around. And He's always waiting for you to open up and allow the things of God to come back. You'll see some of those scriptures there. I'm not going to go through all of them this morning. But look at Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. It's a beautiful picture of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Spirit, Jesus the light of the world, or the Word of God, whichever way you want to go. There they are. And you know what? This is what the Holy Spirit does in all of our lives, even if we don't believe in Him. He is always hovering over. He is always around. This is His world that He created. And He is always waiting for a moment to reveal the light of God that is Jesus Christ in your life. He's always waiting to give you that moment to know the truth and let the truth set you free. He's always around. Sometimes we look at the world, and if you watch enough media, and if you just hang out with your coworkers, well, He's nowhere to be seen. Oh, He's there. He's there. He's revealed Himself fully in Jesus Christ, and any time there's a moment for the truth of Jesus to be known, He is waiting for an honest heart. I told first service, I said, you know, you could say a lot of things about the Holy Spirit and what His role is in your life, but let me give you the simplest definition possible. He's always working for you to get honest. He's just looking for you to be honest. He's always trying to convict your heart and guide you and show you in some way to get honest about where your life is. You know, when we get honest about our life, but we feel like there's nothing but us to take care of it, that gets depressing. So we don't want to get honest about our life because we've got no hope to change it. But when we have the gift of the Holy Spirit, we can have conviction about an honest conversation about where we really are, but we know we're not going to be stuck there. We're not staying there. Not when Jesus was given, the Holy Spirit was given. Romans 8:32, if God did not spare His own Son but gave Him up for us all, how much along with His Son will He not give us all things? What a great promise. So we can be honest with our lives because the Holy Spirit's always trying to bring us into honesty. Because when you get honest with God, God gets honest with you. You know, you live with some people who are like, I don't know, that guy, that's not real. That's, you know, what is that? You know, and they live a life of deceit. They live a life of not even being honest. And so, but the spirit they are of is the spirit they receive. But when you take a moment to say, hey, you know what? I need God. You know what? I know that in my pride, I want to exalt myself, but really God should be exalted. When you take a moment to get honest in your heart, that is the Holy Spirit working in you to begin to draw you to the truth and the grace of Jesus Christ. You'll see that scripture in 1 Corinthians 2. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. Doesn't matter if you have a first grade education or a doctorate. Without the Holy Spirit, you can't understand the things of God. Always run into those people who are like, you know, well, I don't believe in God. And my first question is, well, do you not believe in Him or do you not want to believe in Him? Because those are two different things. There are a lot of people who don't want to believe in God because that brings accountability into their life. And they're not interested in that. But there's something to have an honest moment of saying, God, reveal yourself to me. God, I need you. And there's a whole level of the work of the Holy Spirit that will happen in your life when that happens. Number two, every day, God, the Holy Spirit, is with you. Now, God is all around, but when we come in Christ, in 2 through 4, about those who have accepted Christ, these next three are about the work of the Holy Spirit with people who accept Christ. He is with us. You'll see that word in Deuteronomy that says the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. That verse in John 14, I will ask the Father and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. You know, when we talk about God being with us, we're talking about his work in the circumstances of our life. Your circumstances, that is that next blank. Every day, the Holy Spirit goes before you and guides you, prepares the way, because you're one of God's children, and you're accepting his ways, although you're growing in them. Now, sometimes there are big, drastic moments where God just thunders from heaven. But, you know, the gift of the Holy Spirit is every day God is with us, Emmanuel. And sometimes he does things that just lead us and prepare us for what we want to do. This Friday, Sarah and I were at lunch out in a Stony Point Mall hanging out, using some gift cards. That was awesome. And we're just having lunch, and one of our hearts is adoption. And Sarah is going to be doing a adoption workshop. Sarah and I are going to be doing an adoption workshop here October 22nd. And we just want to continue to spread the understanding of both God's heart for adoption, give some resources for both domestic adoption and, in our experiences, international adoption. So we're going to share those things. So Sarah and I were planning this, and this is something that God put on Sarah's heart. And we're sitting there having lunch, and Sarah's saying, you know, I know God's calling me to do this, but I don't even know anybody who wants to adopt. So, like, how do I know anybody's going to show up to this thing? And we were just talking about, well, you know, God's got it. God's the one who planned this, so, you know, he'll do it. So we finished talking about it, and we go, and we go over to the Dick's Sporting Goods store because we like to waste a lot of money on things that cost about a third of what they charge us. I'm not bitter, really. We're hanging out, and as Sarah's looking at something, I'm kind of in the walkway, and here's this couple who are walking down. They've got the stroller with their little daughter, and on his T-shirt is Adoption Rocks. And then he's got a picture of Africa with a star in Ethiopia. I'm like, all right, this seems pretty obvious. I'm supposed to talk to this guy. So I said to him, I was like, hey, man, love your shirt. What's that about? You know? I was like, oh, he's like, we got some friends who, you know, they've adopted and they were raising money. And so they were selling these shirts. I said, oh, that's great. And I said, you know, we've adopted. Oh, no way. Yeah. And, you know, we start talking about it. No way. Way. No way. Way. Yeah. You know, all that's going on. And, yeah, you know, we really love that. And we're like, funny thing, we're doing an adoption workshop just next month. No way, way, no way, way, yeah. And, you know, they're like, yeah, we'd love to know about it. You know, here the Holy Spirit with us is doing something very everyday-ish. He's preparing the way for what we need. Now, if God the Father was in this guy's bedroom and said, wear the adoption T-shirt today. You know, that would have been bad. That would have wiped everything out. But the Holy Spirit, just kind of, just as silly and insignificant as what shirt am I going to wear today? The Holy Spirit did that. Because he was preparing the way for a moment we didn't know we needed and we're going to have. Because we had agreed to do something for God that we didn't know how we were going to accomplish. You know, so often we want to figure out the whole plan of God before we say yes. And yet, how can we escape the call to faith that the Bible makes for us? We have to understand that as we say yes to the Holy Spirit, he begins to prepare and order all these steps for us in simple, everyday ways. God is with us in the Holy Spirit. But he's not just with us, he is in us. And it's the next group of scriptures there. every day. God, the Holy Spirit, is in you. He's in your thoughts and He's in your heart. Simplest way to say it. He's in your thoughts and He's in your heart. Ezekiel 36 tells us about a new covenant, a new community, a new people. And we're not just some religious organization that's like the YMCA. We're just focused around worship and Bible. No, we're something very different because the Spirit of God lives in us. And we are a covenant people that is made to live differently and know God in a supernatural way. Our lives may be in very everyday jobs. We may be very everyday, ordinary parents, but there is nothing everyday and ordinary about the presence of God that lives within us, that overflows those days to do good things for us. He is in you. Notice some of the scriptures that I've listed there in John. But you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. John 16:13, the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. The Counselor will teach you all things and remind you of everything. You see, every day the Holy Spirit is in you, with your thoughts and in your heart. And every day He convicts, He guides, He teaches, and He reminds. You know, we were just last week, we had you sign up. What are you believing God for this fall? Some of you have already forgotten. But you know what? The Holy Spirit will bring it back to your remembrance in the right time. Hey, remember what you asked for? This is that moment. This is that moment. He guides us each day. And lastly, I want to look at this issue that not only does He do these things, but every day the Holy Spirit can fill you. Can fill you. Your ability, your attitude, and your sense of authority in life. Your ability, your attitude, and your sense of authority in life. Now, don't say anything out loud, okay? Because this could be really interesting. What's the biggest problem in your marriage? Don't say anything out loud. It is absolutely your attitude. Absolutely. Well, you don't know the buttons they're pushing. Yeah, and they're whose buttons? Yours. You know what? God, when we yield to Him and we allow the Holy Spirit to be at work in our lives, He changes our attitude. And He begins to give us one that can sustain and be a home to constructive reconciliation, encouragement, and building. But when we are not filled with the Holy Spirit and we're filled with our own attitude, yeah, you know, you put all the duct tape you want on that thing, it is not getting fixed. You know, I did that little video about the plane coming off the ground because I'm always in the middle of different people's struggles, and it's an honor to be there, and I love the grace that God is doing in there. But so often, whether it's an addiction or whether it's a marital conflict or maybe it's just a fear and depression in life, there's always this issue of, Pastor Sean, can we talk and can you say something magical that will make me realize that none of these things are real? And it's like, they're all real. You know your spouse's attitude? Yeah, that's real. You know what you did in the past? Real. You know that struggle with that addiction? Yeah, that's real. And you know what? What changes is not that you when they feel like they don't exist anymore. What changes is that the Spirit of God fills you, and even though you feel the gravity of all those things pulling on you, there is a power that you are in. It's not yours, it is God's, but you have given yourself to it, and it rises you above those things, and you have a new perspective and a new position to deal with those things. You can go all the self-help you want. You can do Beth Moore, Joyce Myers, Pastor Sean, till you are blue in the face. But until there's a new welcoming of the Holy Spirit in your life, you are stuck. And you can willpower it all you want. You can try to make it look squeaky clean on the outside. But we know what's really on the inside. And so will everybody else, because you can't hide fruit. It happens. And there is a work that when we empty ourselves out, and we just ask the Lord to be the real God, you know. We make the big glass God because he's the big guy. All right? You know, there's this wonderful thing that even in the circumstances that we feel stuck in, we just can't get out of them. You know, we're just stuck in here. But the beautiful thing is God is with us in the middle of that. He's calling us on the cell phone. I mean, he's all around. He's with us. And you know what? For some of you, you just need to hear that today. You know, I remember going through grad school and Sarah and I were trying to figure out, I'm doing part-time. I was like, you know, I couldn't wish for that to go away. God called me to do it. It's just going to take a long time. And I needed God to be with me while it was happening. Some of you, you're walking in long spots. Financial recovery, maybe you're just, you know, career, school, all those things. It's just a long walk. And you need to know that God is with you. You are not alone. Boy, if you get anything, please walk out of here with that. But you know, the beautiful thing is when we surrender to God, he takes who he is and he begins to pour it in us. And we can begin to understand the things of God now. We begin to, oh, okay, I get that now a little bit more. You know, it's really important. I mean, we're going to do the book of Acts and we're going to walk you through it. But the truth is, you need the Holy Spirit to understand what, well, the Holy Spirit wrote, because he's the one who led the authors to write what they wrote. So just know the author and you'll understand the book. But in the middle of all that, God says, I'm just not interested in being in you like a lot of other things are in you. So I'm kind of upset, I'm kind of worried, and I'm filled with anxiety, I'm filled with jealousy, and I'm also filled with God a little bit. I mean, God's not really, that's not the picture of what he wants to do. When's this cup really filled? When I put a little bit more in it? The only time I know it's really filled is when? When it overflows. And God from on high wants to pour in our life and fill even that circumstance we're trapped in with the water of his Spirit. But we've got to be a vessel that's willing to receive it. And when we are, rivers of living water flow through us and begin to water and soften the ground around us, begin to soften hearts and attitudes. And the whole time we're waiting for their attitude to soften. And if we would soften our attitude with the Holy Spirit, then the overflow of our life would begin to soften them. But we only want to change once they change. We want to be trusting of God only once we see the trust. And God says, you know, if you just start with me, I'd soften everything around you. But it's got to start with me. You know, for each of us, there's a work of the Holy Spirit. You know, we don't have to look at the things that we've struggled in and say, well, because of that, I can't know the fullness of God. You know, if you can get honest with God where you are, you can still be in the pit and know the fullness of God. You can still know his glory and his peace and his goodness. I can't tell you when the circumstance changes. I don't know how God, who weaves your life with everybody else's life, puts that all together for the moments that he knows it's time for it to change. But I can tell you this. He is with you. He is in you. And if you'll open your heart, he'll fill you. Because that is amazing grace. That's what's more amazing than any bill that we got cut in half, or the money came just in time, or we needed that place, or that person came up and encouraged. I mean, that's all great. But there is no more amazing grace in life than that the Holy Spirit is with you. You are not alone. You are his. And the Son of God died that you would know him and never be separated from him. And my prayer is, as you begin tomorrow to read the book of Acts, and again, you can just follow along on the book now that I've gotten everything wet around me. It does happen. You can look on the app and just follow along and do the commentary. The Facebook page will have the commentary as well. I encourage you, as you're reading the book of Acts, you know, that's just everyday people who are no more equipped to change the world than you are. But in the power of the Holy Spirit, and I challenge you, I know there's a few of us in here who will not write on our Bible for anything. But for the rest of you, circle every time you see the word Spirit or Holy Spirit. Circle it every time as you're reading. Because I tell you what, every time you circle it, every time you think about my prayer for you, Is that something in which you go, Holy Spirit, how does that look in my life with you today? There's so much more, so much more. But I just want to introduce you today. Holy Spirit, meet Paul. Paul, Holy Spirit. Josh, Shane, Donna. You know, as you leave today, you leave with him. He's with you. He's working things. And I want to encourage you to be encouraged that for your marriage, for your workplace, for all that you are, he is with you, in you, and willing at any moment to fill you. So I'm going to ask you to stand with me as we close in prayer, and I'll let the fellowship hall close down there as well. I'm going to ask for a very simple moment today. And actually, I think I'm going to ask for it a certain way. I'm just going to read you something. It's a pastor, friend of mine, sharing a story about the Holy Spirit. So after finishing a radio talk show, the woman who interviewed me said, I've been a Christian for a long time, but something is missing in my life. What are you hungry for? I asked. She said, I need the reality of God in my life. I asked her if she knew God, the Holy Spirit, and she said, well, I know Jesus. The Holy Spirit is a person, I told her. How would I feel if you were sitting here ignoring me? When we meet, I expect you to talk with me. And that's the way it is with the Holy Spirit. I've never thought of it that way, she said. When you are alone tonight, talk to him. I said, it's as simple as that. I knew she would find the reality she was seeking if she would turn with an honest heart. What about Jesus, she asked. I told her, just sit there and wait for him. He is the one, the Holy Spirit, who glorifies Jesus. No, you are not forgetting about Jesus. After all, it was Christ that gave you the Holy Spirit. Just do what Jesus said. The next day, I received a phone call from the most excited talk show host you could ever imagine. Do you know what happened to me last night? She asked, talking so fast I had to slow her down. The Holy Spirit spoke to me. What she said made me tingle all over. I could hardly hold the phone. She began to cry as she told me the Holy Spirit said this. I have searched the world over and there is no one like Jesus. And she told me of the words she heard. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Immediately I was reminded of the words in Revelations. And here is one of the most important lessons I have learned. A person who knows the presence of the Holy Spirit will always glorify and magnify Jesus. Jesus is the center. Let's pray. Before I close this in prayer, would you take a moment and personally invite the Holy Spirit to meet with you today, tonight? Say, Holy Spirit, would you come? God, would you come and meet with me? That I might know the reality of your presence in a greater way than ever before. Take that moment and pray that prayer. Father, we thank you for the Son and the Spirit. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are with us. Lord, would you take the honesty of each person's heart here today, from the oldest to the youngest, and would you speak to them? Would you cause them to love Jesus even more? Would you give them the power to make Jesus the center of their marriage, of their work, of their school, of their friendships? Holy Spirit, I am a very poor and limited servant, but I pray today that either through me or in spite of me, you will speak to each person here that you long to know in a greater way. I pray that they would know you and be led by you and see you prepare the way in their lives. Guide them in their honest searching for your power and presence. And Lord, I pray if there is someone here who does not know Jesus, they go to church, they're religious, but they honestly don't know you. I pray today that the Holy Spirit would show them the truth of Jesus. The Holy Spirit would help them understand. And that today they would meet with you and know you as the King that you are, forsaking their sin, repenting of their pride and self-centeredness, and making you the center of their life. Lord, I pray that you would show each person here in their life what it is to have the friendship and the power of the Holy Spirit in every moment, that no darkness would stay in people's lives, that no pain would dominate their lives, but you, Holy Spirit, would lead Jesus to the center in such a way that they might overcome and they might rejoice. This is my humble prayer today for each person. And I pray you, Holy Spirit, who is with us in every day and every way, would reveal yourself and cause a longing and a worship of you that brings true joy to all of these here. We pray these simple prayers, and we ask for your blessing, praying the prayer that you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. God bless you as you go. Prayer ministers, if you'd be up front, if you need someone to agree with you in prayer and just believe for healing, they're with you. And look forward to meeting many of you.